Hello and welcome back to Project Pod. In pod number four today, I was speaking with Michael Back. So Michael has his own digital marketing business that he started a couple of years ago. And I was really interested to hear from Michael about the process of getting to that point of starting his own business and how he got there. And one of the key things that Michael talks about is this idea of finding your own value and how essential that is in creating your own business. And how that wasn't an overnight thing, but really the culmination of trying out lots of different things and experimenting and exploring, which I think is such an important thing for people wanting to try out their own projects, or if they think they'd like to have their own business, to really go out and try some different things and allow themselves to try different things. Michael also talks about his current project, which launches tomorrow, 30 Thank Yous. And that's based on a project he did a couple of years ago where he gave 30 LinkedIn recommendations across a month. And he was blown away at the time by the positive power of thanking people in your life across the years for the positive effect they've had. So I hope you really enjoy this episode. I loved chatting with Michael. And check out his project, www.30thankyous.com, which launches tomorrow.
Okay, so today I'm here with Michael Back. Michael Back from Australia, no less, who has got a very interesting project upcoming that I wanted to tell lots of people about and chat to Michael about. So, Michael, tell us.
Oh, well, thank you firstly for having me on the podcast. It was an absolute honour to be asked to be on, and I love chatting to people, and the fact that you asked to chat to me was a great thing, so thank you.
Yeah, I was really, when we were chatting the other day and you were telling me about this upcoming project you've got, I thought, what a fantastic idea and exactly what I want to help get other people engaged with, getting into their own projects and getting into action. So yeah, tell us.
Yeah, well, I think I'm probably like, you know, I'm a chronic people pleaser. You know, it's something that I'm treating at the moment, but I've always been the type of person to put others before me. And so, you know, I started my own business last year, and when I look at my to-do list, 99% of it's client work and hardly any of it's for me. And so I'm, you know, in some ways proud that I've launched this, because it's made me prioritize something that, you know, the benefit for other people is definitely there. And it isn't about me benefiting, it's about other people benefiting. But it's actually something that I wanted to do that I wasn't necessarily getting paid by someone to do. It was just important to me, so I've made it happen. But I suppose the backstory, I've always been someone who has been very appreciative of what's around me. And it's, you know, I'd like to think that came naturally, but there was a time in my childhood which I always remember, and I suppose it's a bit of a turning point in my life. So what happened was my dad went away for business. I think I was probably about 6 or 7. My dad went on a business trip, and as you do when your parent goes to the supermarket or on a business trip or on a holiday, you say, "Oh, bring me back a present." And I remember my dad coming back with a present, and you know, your mind goes to all sorts of places about what the present's going to be. You get really excited. Oh my gosh, it's going to be so exciting! And then I remember dad came out and he just gave me like a cup of lollies. I think in the UK they call them sweeties, but you know. Lollies are like, you know, like candy. And I was actually disappointed with that present. It didn't meet my expectations, and I was really unhappy with it, and dad could tell. And I still remember to this day my dad like looking me in the eye and like stopping me and saying, "Whenever someone gives you a present, you always say thank you. Never ever be ungrateful." And I still, like, as I just said that, I could feel that kind of pain of like my dad looking me in the eyes and like just knowing that I, you know, that I'd done something really bad. But I always get teased in my family, because after that, my auntie called about a week later, and she was calling to speak to my mum, but I picked up the phone and she said to me, "Oh, your birthday's coming up. Is there anything that you want?" And I said, "It doesn't matter what you get me, Auntie Mish, I'll always be grateful. I'll never be ungrateful," or something like that. And so, I get paid out for being a bit of a loser in that regard. but the message kind of sunk in loud and clear. And I feel like ever since then, I've just always prioritized saying thank you and being grateful. And that's where a couple of years ago, I was like really getting into LinkedIn, and I was working in a business where I was coaching a lot of business owners and employees on how to build a great presence on LinkedIn. And recommendations were always something I thought were a bit underrated. So I went, well, instead of just asking everyone for recommendations, how about I just go on a journey of giving 31 recommendations, which for people who don't know LinkedIn, it's just like a reference. It's just like a testimonial almost. I just thought, why not give 31 in 31 days? And it was seriously like such an amazing experience. Like it was one of the best months of my entire life. And even the results of just being so thankful so consistently were really surprising to me. So I suppose I'd been sitting with the power of that, but hadn't really done anything about it until about a month or so ago, when I had a chat with one of my clients about it. And I went, hold on a sec, why have I just kept this to myself? Why don't I try and share it with more people?
But what was that process like of deciding who to thank?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I think like traditionally, I'm a pretty emotional guy. Like I'll always tell people how I feel, and you know, I'm the type of person who give my mates a cuddle, you know, and some of them don't like being touched, but I'll still cuddle them anyway, because I'm like, you know, I care about you. So I think it's an interesting one, because I suppose, you know, leading up to that, there'd be times where I'd pare back and hold back how I felt about people if I thought, it might make them awkward. But I don't know, as you get older, you care a bit less. And I just went, stuff it. I'm just going to tell people how I feel. So for the first few days, it was actually really quite easy, because at the time I was working in a team of about 7 people. So I went, well, I'll just give all 6 of you guys a recommendation, because there's something that you guys have done for me or that I really appreciate about you that I want you to know. And that was a nice experience, because I don't know, it's when you work with a team, it's really rare that, you know, you're just like in the kitchen making coffee and go, by the way, I really appreciate this about you. Like, it's a little bit creepy. So it was nice to have an avenue where I could do it in a way that didn't seem a bit socially awkward. But yeah, so that was good. And then, you know, there was a few that I knew instantly I wanted to give a recommendation to. So, you know, people in other businesses, I'm like, geez, they're doing a good job. But it did get to a point about a third of the way in where I started to dry up a little bit. And I think because LinkedIn is such a professional platform, I've been putting my professional hat on. And it was only when I kind of pushed myself a little bit, I went, well, hold on a sec. Like, there's people who've given presentations that have blown me away. And there's books that I've read that I absolutely loved and that have changed my life. There was someone in my, you know, like, so when I was 18, I had a bit of a watershed moment where, like, at high school, I suppose I never really found my tribe. And then I went to work at a company when I finished school. And all of a sudden I realized like there were people out there like me who I could really connect with. And I think a lot of that was to do with the culture that the business had, where you could be yourself at work. And so I went back and found the CEO of that company, and I hadn't spoken to him in over 10 years, but I was like, why don't I give him a recommendation? So yeah, it was, it was kind of just going on that, you know, pushing yourself hard and just thinking of all the great turning points and moments in your life. You know, I lost a lot of weight because I saw a certain nutritionist. I was like, why didn't I recommend that nutritionist? And yeah, just kind of, it was almost like a bit of a walk down memory lane in the end of just, you know, people in my life and at various chapters of my life who've made such a difference to everything.
Was there anything surprising about it? How did people respond to you?
That's a great question. Some people just said that, hey, that's so nice of you. Thank you so much. And that was lovely. Some others, like, they were so kind of blown away that instead of, they almost felt like emailing me back wasn't enough. So they found my number and gave me a call to verbally thank me, which was really nice. But then it was funny as well, because there was some people who just never acknowledged it. You go, okay, they might use LinkedIn, or they mightn't, you know about recommendations, or they mightn't have responded for one reason or another. But it was still such a lovely thing to go, well, just to go through the process. Like, and it's been interesting, because as I've built this current challenge, a lot of people have said to me, oh, you know, you've got to demonstrate the benefits of doing this. And I'm a little reluctant to do that, because I think the purpose isn't to get an outcome out of it. You don't want people to only say thank you because there's something in it for them. Mm. It's almost that thing. It's like, you just got to say because it's the right thing to do. So yeah, there was probably a third of people who I never heard back from. Some of whom I heard back from like a year later or 2 years later, like, oh my God, I never saw this. Thank you. Like, you know, this is so long ago. I feel embarrassed thanking you now. So that's been like a little gift that keeps on giving in some ways. But I mean, after that, I used to do a little thing where if I was ever in a bad mood or I had a crappy, day at work or something, I'd sit down before I came home and write a LinkedIn recommendation, because it put me in a more positive frame of mind. So I suppose, yeah, there's so many different benefits to doing it. But I was speaking to someone about it last night, and I said there's actually no downside. Like there's either you do it and you've done, you know, you've been thankful and put that good energy into the universe, or like you get closer to them, or they feel better about themselves, or they're in a better mood, and then everyone who they speak to that day receives that positive energy, which is a huge, huge plus. So it's like, I don't know, to me it's almost like the only downside is spending a bit of time, but everything else is just awesome other than that.
I think that's a really good way to put it, and it's such a powerful effect, and it goes beyond just you and that person, which is the amazing thing about it. So how has that, you did that challenge a couple of years ago?
That's right, yeah.
That's led you to developing your current challenge, the 30 thank yous. So tell us about that one.
So this current challenge isn't based on LinkedIn. It's basically like say thank you in any way you want to, as long as it's proactive, unexpected, and heartfelt. They're kind of the three words that I think if you nail those three words, you've kind of captured the formula. And it's interesting because as I released this to the world a couple of nights ago, there's a few people commenting going, isn't it sad that, you know, people don't know to say thank you? I say thank you 30 times a day. And it made me really reflect. I went, well, actually, there's kind of two types of thank you, aren't there? Like the first one is that default, you know, someone that holds the door open for you and say, oh, thanks. Or, you know, someone, you know, serves you in the shop and, you know, take your change, take whatever you bought and say, oh, thanks for that. And then you walk away. But they're almost like the bedrock of society. Like they're like the ones that if you don't do it, you're rude. But by doing it, you don't change someone's day. They just expect that. So I think the unexpected aspect of this is really important to me, but I'm not really tied to how people do it. And I think that's the bit that as I sit here now, you know, it's the 26th of October. You might be listening to it at a different time, but it's kind of 5 or 6 days away from the launch. And I have no idea how people are going to say thank you because I haven't really given them much guidance on it. And I probably will throughout the challenge give people, you know, some ideas just in case they're struggling. But yeah, it's really up to you how you want to thank people. It's just going out of your way to make a point to do it 30 times during the month. So the idea is go to 30thankyous.com. You can put your name and email address in to commit to the challenge. I should say put a www in front of that. For some reason, it doesn't work without the www. And I'll send emails and I don't know, just check-ins throughout the month just to kind of keep you on track and to help people, you know, stick to the challenge that they've committed to. But there's also a Facebook group as well, which I plan on using to, yeah, just to build a bit of a community around this and to, you know, make sure that you've got a few running mates along the way.
It sounds great. And obviously I've signed up. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
I was just thinking, going back to what you were saying before, I'm interested how you got to this point of launching your own projects and kind of coming up with ideas and then actually following through with them and releasing them out in the world and the sort of confidence to do that. It's something that can seem like a simple idea, but actually there's a long process that goes before that. And I was interested what you said about when you went from high school to your first job and really starting to find your tribe and work. I was just wondering if you could say a bit more about that.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. Like I think, you know, and it's a world that's starting to change, but I feel like we all, you know, if you're over the age of 30, you at least you probably grew up in a world where you are told if you go to school and work hard, you'll get into a good university degree. And then if you get good grades at university, you get a good job. And then if you get a good job, you just move up that ladder and live happily ever after. And so I suppose I've been sold that as a dream. But it didn't take me very long. So, you know, I had an amazing time at university. It was, you know, some of the best years of my life. But I, you know, started working and I just found it, I don't know, I found it that there was this kind of tension between like a lot of my friends were moving up in their career. So you feel that pressure to try and keep up. But then on the other hand, I was feeling really unfulfilled and I just kind of thought, wow, I've worked really, really hard up until this point for this and it's not even that enjoyable. Like, is this really as good as it gets? And, you know, through a series of events, I found myself in a job which You know, if I look back on it now, it was just literally a job which involved me not exercising any of my strengths and basically just doing everything I hated doing. And I was miserable, but, you know, I also started to lose confidence because I wasn't really doing the things that I love. And I often tell people that if I ever thought of something to buy on eBay, I'd get really excited because I had something to do that wasn't work, and I'd jump straight onto eBay and get rid. It's like, oh, that was awesome. I had 3 minutes where I didn't have to do that job. You know, that's a terrible way to live. It's just horrible. And I actually went overseas with a bunch of mates, and I went, I'm going to solve this problem while I'm away. Like, I'm going to come back and have a new direction because, you know, there's got to be more to life than this. I thought I'd spent heaps of time while I was away thinking about this problem, but I didn't at all. I just had heaps of fun, and I got to Heathrow Airport on the way back to Sydney, and I was just really disappointed in myself that I'd given myself a month to work this out, and I hadn't. But, you know, again, in retrospect, there's probably a lot of pressure to put on you. So I was like, you know, solve your life problems in 1 month. You know, it's like, yeah, it doesn't really work that way. And it was amazing. Like, it sounds like it was in a movie, but literally 100% true. Like, I was walking through the airport, and I just looked over at this bookshop, and I just saw this book standing up in the window, and it said, "Screw work, let's play." I went, oh, that sounds very interesting. And I went and grabbed it, and I remember reading the back cover, and I think books have a power to, you know, when the right book falls in your lap at the right time, it's one of the most amazing experiences you can go through. And it literally, as I read it, I was just so excited because I could tell that, like, this book was just going to be a game changer for me. And I ended up reading the whole thing on the plane on the way home. And I didn't have an answer for what I was doing next, but I had a bit of a process I was going to go through. And I ended up enrolling in a course, which was run by the author of that book, John Williams, and two other lovely ladies who you know well, Marianne and Selena, Marianne Kentwell and Selena Barker. And what came out of that wasn't, here's what your career should be. It was basically, what do you, you know, start a project that sounds fun and that you love doing. And that ended up for me being a project called the Urban Cowboys, which was a bunch of mates. We'd go out to festivals and film these kind of documentaries, but not like good festivals, like popular festivals, but like really obscure, you know, under the surface festivals like you would never know about. So we had to dig pretty hard to find them, but went to like a Dole Baron craft fair, and we went to a rockabilly festival and a tattoo festival. And I remember we went to this sci-fi festival that wasn't like one of those big, you know, 5,000 people ones. It was like 100 people in a suburban community hall. And it was such a, I had such a ball, but more than anything, it kind of got me excited about life again. It made me realize what I love doing. And I took so many of the skills I learned throughout that back to my job and kind of painted a picture to the boss of the company that, you know, digital marketing and video and all these things were going to become really important for them as a business. And he kind of just gave me permission to start doing it. And so I ended up moving my job in this company from, you know, the worst possible job in the world for me to something I just love doing and really thrived in.
Sounds brilliant and really, and so interesting, but it's not that traditional, like you said, that, you know, we think you go to university, things just kind of slot into place. But actually, through going on these tangents, that you can, it's sort of opening up your mind to other opportunities and letting yourself explore, which is something that's perhaps not encouraged so much through, you know, through the process of saying, right, you choose your A-levels or whatever equivalent you have in Australia, and then going to university. And there's a sort of narrowing, but I'm interested in that idea of kind of exploring and seeing what, you know, what comes from through that process, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever really thought of it this way, but it's just as we're speaking, it's come to me that I think, you know, that whole idea of work hard and you get given good grades and then you get given a degree and then you get, you know, given a good job. There's kind of like this relinquishing control. It's like, well, I'll do my bit and then everything else takes care of itself. Whereas I think what you learn is that, you know, everything in life really, it's up to you and you've got to make it happen. And, you know, it's like sitting in a miserable job being really unfulfilled. You know, it's very obvious on paper to go, well, you've got to fix that. But, you know, that process is very active. It's not like some lightning bolt's going to hit you and then all of a sudden you know what you've got to do next. You've got to explore and you've got to try things and, you know, make some mistakes. And, you know, I remember that in the Screw Work Let's Play course that I first did, where they were saying, choose a project and you don't enjoy it. That's great because you're ruling something out, but you still can take the elements of that and then come up with another project. And it really is like this you know, this, the journey is the reward. There's not necessarily like a point where you get to and you go, cool, I'm happy now. I don't have to worry about doing these things anymore. It's like, no, the fun is the doing. And it's that constant, like, step-by-step of what will I do next? And, you know, throughout that process, understanding more about yourself and what you love doing and what value you bring to the world, and kind of, you know, not just scratching the surface, but just continually diving into that and just finding more and more depth to it.
I was wondering, as you were saying that, and were there any other projects that you've done along the way, or the course that we met on, the Ideas Adventure? What were you focusing on then?
In the Ideas Adventure, I launched a podcast. So I suppose to just bridge the gap a bit. So I did the Urban Cowboys thing. It kind of shifted me into this mode where I doubled down on what I love doing, and my company I was working at the moment were lovely enough to kind of create a job where I could do that. And it was through that process that I met someone in a different city. So I was living in Sydney at the time, and I met someone in Brisbane who was starting a business that was very much around what I... So, I mean, I'd been working in digital marketing in financial services businesses, which is very niche. And I found someone who basically wanted to revolutionize how financial services businesses did digital marketing. So I was kind of like just meant to be. He had no real business. He just had an idea and wanted to launch a conference. And I was just at this point in my life where I was like, you know what, like I'm up for an adventure. And, you know, it was definitely the steps before that of just not really worrying too much about the future, but just kind of living in the moment, going with the flow, that meant that for me to move up to Brisbane, and originally it was for 3 months, and, you know, it's coming up 5 years now since I've been up here. I've met, you know, the love of my life. We're getting married next year. It's just like, you know, I could never have predicted any of that would happen, but a lot of it, you know, I do owe to just not staying in my box and in my comfort zone, and kind of just branching out and just asking yourself, well, what's the worst that can happen? And so for me, going up to Brisbane was like, well, I come up, it doesn't work, cool, I move back to Sydney, no harm done, what's the worst that can happen? Turns out that business kind of took off after that event, and we had a fantastic few years there. And I got to that point last year where I just went, well, you know, I think it's time for a new adventure. And at the end of the day, like, what's the worst that can happen? You know, I've got a pub across the road, and if I can't pay the rent, I'll just walk over to the pub and start pulling beers and, you know, pay the rent that way. So at the end of the day, it's, you know, I think life is a bit of an adventure and you can't really take it too seriously. So since then, I started my own consulting business. I'm still not really worrying too much about what this becomes or how big it is or whatever. I'm just kind of using the technology we've got today to, you know, build a business pretty easily. And, you know, being able to do little projects like the one I'm doing now as well, it's a hell of a lot of fun.
But that's really interesting how that it's a kind of a learning development process, and the two worlds sort of, yeah, interacting with each other and strengthening each other.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. It's like, I think, you know, to start a business, you need to have value because people buy value, right? And it's impossible to do your own thing or start a business if you don't know what your value is. So like, instead of going, I want to start a business, you've got to really explore what value you can bring to the world and what's uniquely you. And, you know, there's an element of trust in this. Like, one of my all-time favorite YouTube videos is the one of Steve Jobs where he does a Stanford graduation address. Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen
it. It's a life changer. You have to watch that. You know, Steve Jobs he's got a pretty checkered past. You know, there's a lot of pro and a lot of anti Steve Jobs people, but his speech is very humble, and he kind of just shares what he's learned about life. And, you know, the speech was towards the end of his life as well. But one of the things he talks about is how he finished university, but from memory, I think he paid his tuition up to the end of the year, and he kind of had dropped out, but he still was living on campus for 6 months. So he's like, well, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to get a degree because I've dropped out of uni, so I can just go to do whatever subjects I want. And one of the ones that he chose to go to was a calligraphy class. And all his friends were like, why are you going to calligraphy? It's a dying art. Like, you know, calligraphy's in the past. It's, you know, you're wasting your time. But he didn't know why. He was just fascinated and he loved calligraphy. So he went along to the class and really enjoyed it. And he says, you know, that's why today Apple has the most beautiful fonts in the computer world. And there was a time when there were no fonts on computers. Apple were the first to do that. And then, you know, the rest of the world copied. And, you know, so I suppose that the message there for me is it's not always that obvious how you doing something now is going to contribute to your future, but you've just got to trust that if you're doing the right things and they feel good, there's going to be some sort of event in the future where you look back and go, ah, that's, you know, that's interesting. If I hadn't have done that, how different would my life have been? So, you know, it's just about, I suppose, firstly, like listening to your instincts and not just silencing them.
That really resonates with me, that idea of giving yourself permission, which is why often we go to other people, we read books, or we, you know, watch things online to try and, we're searching for that kind of permission to go, it's okay to listen to these calls to things that might seem like they don't fit. But because when you say it's about finding your value, that can seem quite a scary prospect. So it's like, okay, well, how do I do that? But it's this process of exploring, trying stuff out, rather than going, right, well, I kind of fill in an online questionnaire and out it pops. So I think people understanding it's not what can seem like a very weighted, high pressure question. You need to kind of, it's sort of refinding those skills that perhaps some kind of, you know, traditionally we're not that encouraged to do.
Yeah, and I think you just got to let go of the fact that there's an endpoint as well. Like, you know, we all think, oh, I'm going to work out my happily ever after. But, you know, it's like a relationship. Like, you don't find the one and then never have to work at it. Like, when you find someone that you love deeply, like, you need to keep working at that relationship to keep it great. And it's the same with your life. Like, you're not going to find this magic, ah, here's what my value is, here's what my special talent is, and there you go. Like, you know, Roger Federer probably worked out his special talent was tennis, but he probably trains harder than any other tennis player in the world. So you just need to keep going. And, you know, I look back at things I did a couple of years ago, articles I've written, videos I recorded, I'm like, gee, I could do that so much better now. But that's not a reason not to do it. It's just that was a necessary step to get to where I am now. I'll probably look back on this 30-day challenge in a couple of years and go, gee, I could have done that better or differently. But that's the beauty of just getting, you know, better and better as you get older and, you know, with more experience. So you just gotta do your best and realize there is no there's no end point. It's just, you know, the end point is when you die, and that's a really sad time. So, yeah, until then, you know, I think that the fear sometimes can get in the way, but I think there's often a lot less to be scared of than we realize.
I think that's a great point to stop at. I just wondered, before we finish, any advice that you'd have for other people who are kind of thinking there's like a little voice saying that perhaps they'd like to get going with their own project, or maybe one day have their own business, thinking back to where you were before, what advice or fan thoughts would you have to share, Michael?
Gee, I could talk about that for like an hour. It's really hard. I think someone once said to me, if you're one in a million, that means there's 25 people exactly like you in Australia, population being 25 million. And I do love that idea that I think no matter how weird your skills are, there's people out there who will value them and who need them. And, you know, it might be a little idealistic, but I do believe that everyone in this world has an enormous amount of value to give to others. And the biggest shame is when people don't realize that potential. But you know what, like I think a lot of people feel like they're going it alone, but you don't have to. You know, you can team up with people to do things. The Urban Cowboys, I got three of my mates together. Now, they didn't actually realize that this was an assignment for a course I was on, but we just decided to do it. And it made all of that so much easier. So I think, you know, like a lot of people have this idea for a podcast, but they go, I could never do that. Well, you know, why not get a friend involved? And, you know, like we're a social species who have kept each other alive over, you know, evolution. And, you know, it's also like the way we can move forward in from wherever we are now to what we want is probably with other people. So, yeah, I think that's probably one really important bit is to surround yourself with a great tribe who can help you. And, you know, it's sometimes hard to find that tribe, but it's worth the wait and it's worth searching for them.
Yeah, very true. Okay, and just a quick reminder of where people can go to sign up to your challenge and when it starts.
Yes, so it starts 1st of November 2017. Go to www.3030thankyous.com, mm-hmm. And then that's where you can register. There's also a Facebook group. And, I've been blown away by how many people, like, are on the list that I haven't met before. It's so exciting. It's probably my inner critic talking, but when I first read them, I go, oh, that must be spam. Like, there must be like, you know, fake registrants, but hopefully they're not. But we've got people from all over the world. So it's, as I looked just before I jumped on the call, I think we're up to 91 people which, yeah, I'm really blown away by how many. It's less than 2 days since I launched it. So my goal, my crazy stretch goal was always 300. So I would love to get to 300. So for anyone listening, if you're even remotely interested in this idea, just jump on the challenge. I think you'll be blown away by how much of an effect giving those 30 thank yous over the month of November would have.
Brilliant. I'm really excited to take part in it and see what happens. So, yeah, thank you so much, Michael, for chatting today. It's been fantastic. And good luck with the challenge. And can't wait to see how it all turns out.
Thank you so much. It's been lovely to have a chat with you.